Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and today on Hercules and the Space Gods, I'm proud to bring you the worldwide religion of love. Greetings and welcome, Diane. How are you today?
Oh, thank you, Hercules, and I want to thank you so much for giving us this platform. For our whole family, from Michael and Alex and me too, thank you.
You're very welcome, and thank you very much for sharing your experiences and insights with the world. Your words deserve to be heard.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I want to first, Hercules, say a happy birthday to a very special guest that we have tonight.
Okay.
And that's Gerald T. Farley. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Are we going to sing to Gerald or no?
Oh, I'm going to wait till Michael gets back the next time and we'll do that.
Okay.
Gerald, are you there?
Is it really my birthday?
Well, tomorrow.
I think I'm there.
Well, happy birthday, darling. We love you.
Thank
very
you.
Much.
Thank you, Diane. Thank you all.
Yes. My husband Michael is not here tonight, but Alexander is, and he's going to be sharing some of his new information he's found on Oriental religions. And the first one he's starting with tonight is the Shinto religion. So that should be kind of interesting to see what he comes up with. Alex is 16 and just started 10th grade in high school, and it's really exciting to find out all the things that he's exploring. My husband Michael and I are bringing forth a new worldwide religion of love. And tonight we're beginning to talk about the light and life lifestyle that goes along with this religion. And I just wanted to read a couple paragraphs to begin this exploration. And I want Nick to help me explore it, and of course Gerald. At this point in humanity's progress, we possess all the tools, the abilities, the technology, and natural resources to be able to turn this world into an abundant paradise, befitting of God's, or the gods' plan of light and life. This is for our planet, and it's really not that far away. Light and life is that evolutionary stage where the gods, light and love, shines brightly through each and every person. The majority of individuals during this stage have developed the ability to function in a more elevated and God-like way, morally, intellectually, and spiritually, as compared to previous evolutionary stages. And that's what Michael and I call light and life lifestyle. The beginning of it here. My second paragraph I want to read to you is, light and life is also a stage where the life of all individuals, including the animals and all the kingdoms of life, and that includes our little unborn babies, they're very valued, and that we're going to value them even highly, more highly. During this stage, love, kindness, and compassion for others supersedes the quest for selfish gain at the expense of others. Those in leadership roles govern and serve their peoples out of concern for their betterment, as opposed to the fulfillment of selfish desires by way of exploitation. Also, before, during, and after this stage, a culture of life. Now, this culture of life we'll also be talking about eventually, and that's established and implemented so that all may have the abundance and live in the peace without fear of violence or death at the hands of others. So we're going to start out tonight, and I got Nick involved here because we want to ask you if light and life, if you knew that it was actually coming at a certain date, say like, you know, something like March 20th, 2027, if there was actually even an inkling of it coming and you knew it, what would you do to prepare yourself or get yourself in line to actually live in what the Arantia book calls that this paradise life, this life of evolutionary development that we finally hope to reach. So, Nick, you're first online here. What do you think that you would do? Would you change anything?
Well, thank you very much, Diane. A pleasure to be here with you all, and a special happy birthday to you. I just want to say congratulations and many, many more birthdays to come. Happy, happy birthday. Now, answer your question, when you originally told me the theme tonight, I was very excited. I said it was incredibly creative, which it certainly is. And off the top of my head, being a little bit of a comedian, I said, Diane, the first thing I would do if I knew light in life were to happen tomorrow is that I would go out and buy a 50-pound bag of flour and bake all the chocolate cookies I could possibly have in my kitchen to celebrate this momentous occasion, and then I would pray for the occasion to be for everyone on this planet. So my comic answer would be I would go out to the kitchen and bake all the chocolate chip cookies for the big party to come. Now, with that, the other things that I really would do, even if you said, Nick, it's going to be tomorrow, if you said that, I would contact everybody I knew to let them know the good news. I would do that, of course, by phone and, of course, the Internet. I have a fairly large list of friends and relatives and people from Disclosure Network New York that I think would all be involved in celebrating such an momentous event. I would immediately go worldwide announcements on the Internet, of course, and I would also employ, and here it comes, an airline sky riding company in the New York area to write light and life will come tomorrow to our planet and put it over New York City, because as the media capital of the world, all the major newspapers and magazines are here. And with something in the air like that, that would get, I'm sure, worldwide attention really quickly. So again, if I'm doing this really quickly, that's something I honestly think would help. A day organizing for prayer, and I would do this in Central Park in the very large and grassy Sheep Meadow as a whole day and night of prayer, welcoming in light and life and celebrating such an amazing event, long overdue. And those are just a couple of things that I really would do, because I would want to do everything I can to inform every man, woman, and child of what was coming.
Well, that, you know, I hadn't even thought of that. I think that's absolutely tremendous. I really hadn't. I had just thought of, well, what, you know, could we personally do? You know, like Michael is, he wants to develop a stronger and healthier body than we've had before, even. And so he's doing the Apollo ceremony type of thing three times a day where we put our arms up and we go out in the morning and we find the sun in the morning and we put our arms up and we praise Apollo and we ask him to please give us more health, strength, and energy. And we do that three times. And then we thank the local universe father, Zeus, for our life. And then we thank the mother for all the blessings. And then a personal prayer for our friends and relatives. I know I have a girlfriend who's just spent 5 months in the hospital.
Five months.
Oh, and so I just found out yesterday, actually. I had wondered what on earth happened to her, and that was it. And that's an interesting story because she was going to have an operation. And the father told me, she mustn't have it. You mustn't let her have it. You must talk to her and talk to her and talk to her. Well, I did. I tried and I tried and I tried. I tried to persuade her to think about it because it was elective. Well, she had it, and 5 months ago, everything went bad. And now her whole life is totally gone. And I don't know if she'll ever get back to her home again or be able to drive or go to the store or anything. And all I can say is that that's what I'm going to do. I am going to try in the future follow the father's advice more closely and try and get it down more clearly. Because sometimes you don't realize that just one thing in your life can upset the apple cart so that your whole life is almost over.
Diane, may I ask a question?
Yes.
Can you give us her first name and her location?
Oh, of course. It's Linda, and she's been in the hospital 5 months, and we are in Mission Viejo, and she's the dearest friend. But, you know, it's very hard for people to believe what I'm telling them, because it's very hard for people to believe that I can really talk to the Lord. And so it's difficult, and I don't blame them, of course. But I also know how important sometimes it is for the Father to get through his message. And sometimes people are not willing to open their hearts to listen to him. So
I would like to say that I personally will, and I'm asking everybody in our audience to pray for her.
Yes, we must.
I think
pray.
That absolutely we should do that,
yes.
And
yes. Yes.
Because that story is quite wow. That really just gets to your heart. Absolutely does. And
yes.
The poor woman has been through so much. So let's all pray for her.
Yes. Yes, we will. Dear Heavenly Father, please help Linda and help her to be better, her physical, to turn around, because things have been very difficult for her in the last 5 months. And again, she was a strong woman, stronger than me. Oh, healthy, strong woman. And she, you know, would drive everywhere and help everyone and deliver food to everyone from her church. And she would do everything. And she had an operation, and I knew she did. But then she said, the doctor said it needed to be done again. And the father told me, no, she can't, or everything will be ruined in her life. And I told her, but it's too hard to believe, you know, that a person can really talk to God. And so, you know, it's very difficult. I don't blame anyone.
Was it cancer that she was afflicted with?
No, it was not. No, it was not.
Can you say what it was, or would that not be something?
I would really rather not. But
all right. Anyhow,
she didn't have it.
Let's all pitch in and say prayers for her, not just now, but in the days ahead. Okay.
Of course. May God bless her. May God bless her. Yes.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm just saying that sometimes if we don't get closer to God, then we miss these messages that could turn around our lives and make them better, or sometimes it could be a calamity. And we need to get in closer contact to the gods. We really do. And
absolutely.
Light and life will bring this. Will bring that.
Jesus said, I talk to my Father, and you are able to talk to him too. And really, it's open, and the invitation is there, and we really need to pay attention to that. So we need to talk to God. We need to talk to him and tell him what's in our hearts. And I just think that's absolutely vital and never more important than right now, because I've never been feeling so many challenges on every single level. I think, Diane, you'll agree with that, than right now.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. On every single level you can imagine. And according to all the reports, it's going to get worse before it gets better. So we need all the help we can muster. And I think talking to God directly and saying prayers and hoping and praying that things will turn around for everyone on the whole planet, not just America, but everywhere.
Right. That's right. Well, this is really, I think, one of the main components of the worldwide religion of love, to develop a personal relationship with God. I don't think he wants anything more than to be able to love us more dearly and closer.
Absolutely true. And it's up to us to listen to that and to follow followed through to that. It's what an invitation that is. I mean, could there be anything better than saying that you have the ability to pray and to talk to God himself, the universal
right.
Father?
Yes,
wow.
Yes.
I mean, it doesn't get better than that. You know?
You know, it's interesting, too, in studying about the Greek, and Hercules, you probably know more about this than I do, but they say that during the time when Cronus and Rhea ruled, before Zeus and Hera, that people did try to have a relationship with God in a more intimate way. Surely there are instances more of that.
Yes, people enjoyed throughout Greek history and to the present day personal relationships with the Olympians and before them the Titans. In fact, under Cronus, there was a golden age on Earth that we've mostly forgotten about. Nowadays, the age of Pericles and the Parthenon and Athens, that's considered to be a golden age by us moderns. But there were golden ages in each of the reigns of the Olympians.
Well, maybe we'll have a golden age again, the light and life, it sounds like it. And, you know, Nick, you could talk about that in about the Rancher book, because they do talk a lot about how it would be then, you know.
Absolutely true. Paradise, the Isle of Light and Life. And it describes in incredible detail the center of all time and space, which is where the Universal Father resides. And it's the destiny, the Rancher book says, of all mortal creatures of to go eventually journeying with a lot of education and prayer towards that goal. And the goal is to be in paradise, the Isle of Light and Life with the Universal Father. Could there possibly be anything more wonderful than that? I don't think so.
No, no.
Paradise is the eternal. Well, yeah. And I feel as though it's happening. I do. And I think we're getting to the point of really understanding who we are as a people on this planet. I see that in a lot of places. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the answer. Excuse me, I'm sorry, I'm tugging my throat.
Oh, bless you, dear. Get a drink of water.
paradise, it would be the aisle, the center aisle that exists. It says it is basically flat, and it's not a spherical, but elliptical.
Mm-hmm.
And 1/6 longer and north-south diameter than in the east-west diameter. Gigantic is the only word that they use to express how huge it is. And they go into some more detail about how truly breathtaking and amazing it is to be in such a place and to be in truly paradise where there's no time and there's no space.
Right.
And paradise is the universal headquarters of all personality activities and the source center of all force, space, and energy. It's all emanating from there. And, you know, some of the more recent research is saying that energy is everywhere. When you look out and say, well, it's just space, there's nothing there, that's not true. The energy is everywhere, every single place on every planet. And they're discovering that, and that's actually that's an amazing discovery because it has all kinds of repercussions. Could be wonderful repercussions of knowing that the energy is there, and it's all coming from the center of all time and space, which is the home of the Universal Father.
Yes, of course, of course. Well, thank you, Nick. I really love your idea of proclaiming it to the world. You know, I really hadn't thought of that, but that is wonderful, just in every way we could to tell them that is coming. So that I love that. Well, thank you so much. That was just beautiful.
My pleasure.
And I'm going to have you talk to Gerald after Gerald gives his talk. Alex is here, our 16-year-old, and he's exploring the Oriental religions, and right now he's on Shintoism. So he's going to give us a little talk on that, and then Nick will get back with you and Gerald after Gerald's talk. Here's Alex, Alexander.
Hi, Alex.
Hi. So, Shintoism. It's actually a very interesting religion. It's the native religion of Japan. It's what most people believe in over there. Essentially, their belief is underlined by the fact that the gods themselves aren't exactly perfect. It's kind of a bizarre ideology, but that's where it comes from.
How are they not perfect? In what way are they not perfect?
For one, they're a lot like humans and have to deal with very human problems of their own. I could give an example of in a legend if you would like.
Sure, that'd be awesome.
This is the Shinto tale of how life and death came to be. Izanami and Izanagi, the creators of Earth and by extension some of the gods and goddesses of the Shinto religion, were just giving birth like rabbits, as they usually do, until Izanami gives birth to the fire god. She gets burned, like severely burned, so much so that she dies from it.
Mm.
And in the Shinto religion, everybody goes to hell. It's regardless of whether you've been good in life or not, you just go to hell.
Are there different types of hells? Like, I know in some Oriental spiritual systems,
there's
like the hell of hungry ghosts, and there are lots of different hells. There's just one hell for everybody?
Yeah. So Izanami, so Izanagi is a bit worried about this, so he goes to hell himself to reclaim his wife, but Izanagi, or Izanagi finds her, and Izanami tells him that she's eaten some food from hell, therefore she cannot go back.
Hmm.
But Izanagi decides to try, and Izanami agrees. It being very dark in hell, Izanagi decides to light his hair comb, and he sees the face of Izanami, which is extremely worm-eaten, and etc. Izanagi is pretty much shocked by this and runs out of hell. And Izanami, being very mad about this, curses at him, saying that she'll bring about 120,000 million people to hell each and every day. And Izanagi replied with, he will have humans give birth to just that many every day.
Mm.
So, thus, life and death exists.
So how would people escape the fate from going to hell? You've indicated that everybody goes there. Are there different levels in hell, or?
Nobody can escape that fate, no matter what they do. Essentially, it's basically saying that nobody can match up to the gods and their magnificence, basically. That the gods themselves are imperfect, and that's what I love about the religion. Shows a more real view, something I could actually believe, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. So you've been studying, and your scholarship shines forth. Are you going to be sticking with Shinto, or are you going to explore Taoism and Buddhism and
I'm going to tackle something much harder than these things. But yeah, that's Shintoism is just the thing I can probably stick to believing.
I had a lot of fun with Taoism when I was exploring when I was younger. Taoism starts, the Tao that can be told is not the eternal Tao. The name that can be named is not the eternal name. The nameless is the beginning of heaven and earth. So pretty simple and pretty profound at the same time.
Yeah. What I am trying to tackle at the moment, though, is understanding David Lynch's work.
Okay.
If you've ever heard of that.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, I'm trying to understand his work, and, well, I'm so close, yet I'm so far away.
Well, you're on a quest, and it's an exciting adventure, and it'll be an adventure of discovery, and it'll be an adventure of many bright paths, and then some winding ones that lead no place. But each step you take will bring you closer to your destination.
That is true. But I do have a bit of logic I can probably apply to his movies and his TV shows. And it's this. Whatever is happening on screen is literally what's happening in the movie.
Okay.
I applied this to his first film, Eraserhead, and I got a surprising result, actually. I got the plot of the movies, if you've ever seen it, is just...
Yes, of course.
It's just it's just about a troubled father who is pretty much forced into fatherhood. And how much woes comes from that.
I saw Eraserhead when it first came out. I saw it in the theater.
Oh, huh. Did you even like it, or was it just
I loved it. It was very different, and it was very surreal at times. And he was on vacation for the whole movie, and... there were different layers to it. I don't remember everything now. It's been decades since I saw the film. But I used to love that movie. It was one of my favorites at that age.
Yeah, I looked into it myself, and I just came to the conclusion it was just a movie about the woes of parenthood, albeit told in a very cartoony way.
Yes, it was very cartoony.
Yeah, I mean, it's like once you look at it that way, all that surrealism starts kind of floating away from it, and you start kind of chuckling at some of the scenes.
Yeah, it was very strange. I believe he did Twin Peaks also.
He did.
The television series, and... have you gotten into Twin Peaks yet?
I have. Oh, God, but don't get me started on what that was.
we talk about it on another episode. You can have to talk about
it
now.
Yeah, it's like, oh, my God. It's like I have no idea what happened in that entire show, but it inspired me somehow.
There have been sequels to it, too, more recent, more modern.
Yeah, I saw the revival. That's what I saw. I've been meaning to see season 1 and 2 in Fire Walk With Me.
Okay.
Yeah. But I did end up coming up with an entire tribute town to Twin Peaks that I call Fractal Summits.
And what's that about?
Fractal Summits is essentially a town very similar to Twin Peaks, except the only difference is that Twin Peaks has a bunch of weird, strange, surreal stuff going on. Fractal Summits has more of that and more intensity. Like, for example, the native population in the forest that borders the town is a bunch of creatures called the Canvas Men. which are essentially these creatures that look like people, but their heads are replaced with paintings. And it's very bizarre, really.
Sounds very bizarre.
Yeah. I don't know how I was able to come up with that, really. And then I had to come up with the sheriff and everything. And one of my aspirations for the series is simply, I only really want David Lynch to voice one character in the series, and that would be the mayor of Fractal Summits.
Hmm.
Because the mayor is pretty much modeled after Lynch himself. And I kind of just want to do that, just because I think it would be kind of funny. And I think it would probably get people's attention quickly.
Well, certainly your interests have become much more wide-ranging since we started this conversation initially about Doctor Who. And your proclivity to reshaping the material into something new reveals that your future might be in writing or making movies or making television shows, producing or directing, because you love taking the material and doing something new, something that's you with it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it is. Yeah. Anyway, I have to go because
well, thank you. I enjoyed speaking with you very much, and I look forward to our next conversation.
All right.
Thank you, Nick. Thank you, Alex.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much for listening to Alexander. he's quite a young man to live with, I tell you. He's growing up so fast.
Yes, he is, and he has so much of interest to say.
Well, he just, you know, they say the young people don't read today. Well, my child is just reading everything he can get his hands on. Well, listen, I want to bring in our birthday gentleman, Gerald T. Farley. And we are so, so honored to have him, as we are, Nick, and honored to talk to Hercules. But, Gerald, what words of wisdom do you have for us this evening? And then afterward, if you would be so kind to talk to Nick and see what he wants to explore with you.
Certainly. That would be wonderful.
Thank
I look
you.
Forward to that. This is an update from the Celestials on Nasara Jassara. I believe everyone connected with the show tonight is familiar with Nasara Jassara. Is that accurate?
Well, why don't you just give us a little rundown on it, since there might be some who are listening that might need a little more information.
I will. I'm just trying to find out if anybody on the show is familiar with it. There's a lot that's been written about it. But Nasara is the National Economic Security and Reformation Act. It's actually signed in as law, but it was kept hidden from us. And Jassara is the Global Economic Security and Reformation Act. And they talk about no taxes anymore, kind of like a jubilee. All debt is paid for. And it's kind of the precursor, if you will, and it's coming soon, according to the Celestials, to the initial stages of light and life, which can begin to come when we've moved to the fifth dimension, most of us, and beyond, of unity consciousness. and we spend most of the time there, and we're not so much we're pretty much over with dealing with what's going on in the world today with all of the shadow government and cabal and the elites. So this is the update that they're giving us is it's the end of poverty. And so just kind of sit back and take this in and see how you feel about it. It's the end of debt. It's the beginning of a new golden age, which we've heard about from many fronts. No poverty, no hunger, no debt, only global prosperity and peace for all, which are exactly the kind of messages that I love to receive. It's a final wake-up call. Nisara has merged with Jisara. Now, why that's important, so the National Economic Security and Reformation Act was for America only, and that was supposed to take place first. But now they're saying for the first time that they're both going to Nisara and the Global Economic Security and Reformation Act, which entails the rest of the planet, which is an essentially the same thing, will all take place concurrently, which says to me that the collective consciousness on our planet has risen to the place where that is possible for a lot of the other countries, including a lot of the third world so-called countries. So the announcement of GESARA, Global Economic Security and Reformation Act, will now affect the Republic, that's us, along with the rest of the world, amounting to a total of 206 sovereign nations. The new financial system is part of GESARA law. The IMF, International Monetary Fund, will announce the global gold standard monetary system once GESARA is announced. All remaining fiat currencies, and fiat currency is simply that which is just printed and not really backed by precious metals or gold, which is what the United States has been operating on for a long time. All remaining fiat currencies will be cashed in for gold standard currency, which means the paper money that anybody has now will they'll give us a year to turn that into the banks for the gold standard currency. So there's plenty of time for those who have the old currency. Paper money will eventually be phased out, and all currencies will be digital. But when we're talking about digital, we're talking about one digital system, which is controlled by the quantum computer, which actually is an off-world phenomenon that actually has a consciousness involved with it. So it's not hackable. It's not each individual is identified and everything is protected within that system. So the goal is to make the transition event simple, smooth, and swift. The new financial system has been online for months. And the reason I'm so interested in what's going on here is because it absolutely is the precursor to light and life. The reason this has to happen first, as far as we can see, is that people will be secure and have all their needs met. And that's a big deal. That's a change agent in and of itself. So notably, the wealth proliferation aspect is actually very stabilizing. People who have newfound wealth in extremis are far more likely to feel able to help their relatives, their close friends, their fellow citizens. Now, it's not about them actually needing the help, because everybody will have all of this extra funds. It's what happens to within your own psyche and how you deal with this is what they're wanting us to start thinking about. They are all more likely to engage in humanitarian efforts. This is wealth building. The RV reset might see a shortage of qualified workers. Well, we're already seeing that. The other reason that comes up is that if people have enough, they don't really need to work at a job that they don't find rewarding. And there will be communities involved, including Christ Michael Schools and the Quantum Healing Centers and the Offices of Peace and community gardens and the communities around them. That's a worldwide humanitarian project that will be free for everyone and completely open to everyone on the website as far as everything that we're doing. So it will be open source. This is wealth building, and it will be reflected in prices. But this is counterbalanced by a drop in taxes of, in some case, up to 80% of the final product cost price, which would result in deflation. As prices drop, savings increase for the worker and their family. This builds wealth. Energy costs, too, are now an important component of a cost mechanism for any product. Energy costs also drop as a result of free energy from our celestial friends and some of the technologies that have heretofore been hidden or kept from the general public and new technologies. The future will be unbelievable, complete. Our lives will evolve immensely. And we can only imagine because we haven't, quite frankly, lived that yet. But it will be our direct experience. The cabal is on the ropes, and some of the new suppressed technologies that are being released date back 70 years or more. Suppressed technology is new to us, but in reality, it is very old. Some go back literally millions of years. For example, the purified waters of Antarctica will be used to turn the deserts green and restore mineral life to all plants and living things. The future will be unbelievably complete with cards. We talked about that earlier. For our own personal credit, which will be completely protected for each and every individual. The actual location of Replicator, we've all seen that in Star Wars and Star Trek, that can produce everything. And surely most importantly, a new awareness of the power of our heart-mind consciousness as we're shifting ever upward in our own ascension processes as we speak in order to display our needs. And soon also available real health care, and that's what I'm talking about with celestial chambers and medbed technology, and which also includes all the herbal remedies that have been with us for centuries in order to display our real health care to make people healthy instead of sick and regrow in the medbeds and celestial chambers, limbs or organs, or to reduce our age by 30 years. Now, for those who follow it, which I've been doing for, 50 years, we've heard this over and over, and it's the same story. The only difference now is this is imminent, according to the celestial guides and teachers. Money and banks are tools of the cabal to control us with their debt-based economy, which can never bring prosperity. Consequently, paper money and banks will eventually disappear. Coinage will not. That's part of the precious metals. The greatest short-term effect will be that the RV will create a large surge in consumers over time. In other words, everyone will have enough to get whatever it is to meet their own needs. Corporations that responsibly produce things that people really need will see a huge surge in business and profits for many years to come. This is wealth producing, because a huge aspect of GESARA, the Global Economic Security and Reformation Act, is the elimination of the national debt of every nation on earth. Taxes will be adjusted to be lower for citizens and corporations. Only a flat sales tax of somewhere in the neighborhood of 15% on new items will be applied. The actual pyramid structure of the global elite, which is highly compartmentalized, and that's why we don't have the information, including most governments and corporations, has become dysfunctional. It created class separation among all of us and fostered the belief in dearth. Part of spiritual evolution is born when our identity is no longer attached to material matters. So that's one of the other big reasons for this debt jubilee to take place. When there is...
Gerald?
I'm on the last paragraph.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that we can get Nicholas in, Nick in.
Right. When there is free energy, transportation, replicators distributed to everyone, we will become equal. No one will be enslaved. People will just do what they want to do, have free time to reflect and be creative, and have more time to reflect on their spiritual and cellular growth. No need to hoard anything. Advanced civilizations do not wonder where their next meal is going to come from, how they are going to pay for their rent, or how they are going to get from A to B. And that really is the precursor to light and life. And Nick and I can talk more about that as we go on. So thank you very much for listening.
Thank you. Nick, do you want to jump in here and talk to him?
I will be happy to jump in, and I have my pogo stick handy to do all the jumping.
Good.
Gerald, a happy birthday to you again. Just want to say, man, many, many more, many, many more.
Tomorrow, I will be starting my 85th year of life.
Oh,
fantastic.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Already a life well worth lived and a lot more to go, and hopefully the best is yet to come.
Right. And with Gerald, it will be.
I second that.
He's amazing.
Yeah. Now, just a couple of ideas here. One of them is I think we have to be very cautious about the monetary plans that this is talking about, because the credit system, instead of a money being bills and coins, it would be a credit system, which you mentioned, and run by a computer, obviously a very upscaled computer, basically handling all this. Well, the problem with that is the fact that your credit, say you have 1,000 credits in your account. Well, if you say something that is not approved by powers that be, they can take one switch and switch off all of your credits. And what does that mean? It means that you cannot have any more spending power for food or anything. You cannot go on a plane because you won't be able to pay for it. And the switch is there, which means total control through the money system of digital with for everyone on the planet. Now that is
exactly, Nick, what we are faced with and is taking place in our world right now. But this quantum computer is a gift to us. This technology is a gift to us. And it hasn't started yet in our system. We still have to deal with that, which you just described, because it is happening with the digital systems, the digitalized format that we're under now. I've never gone for any of it, and I've seen so many who lost a lot. But my point is, there's a consciousness in this computer, and it is based on the technology of all the advanced civilizations. When I say advanced, they're anywhere from billions to millions to hundreds of thousands of years beyond where we are in our stage of evolution. And they're here on our planet dealing with so many things that I wouldn't even begin to get into to free us to get to that point. That technology that they have on their digital system can't possibly turn anything off, because that's like telling God, it's okay to turn so-and-so, stop so-and-so from doing this. And God just doesn't work that way, and that's where it's all coming from, is source light. So it's a quantum computerized system that has full consciousness of creator source involved with it, which is ineffable, really. I mean, there isn't anybody who can explain it until we've actually lived it. But what you're saying is well-founded, Nick, because that's what's going on right now. And that's what we're moving out of, that we have to move out of before we can engage with the initial stages of light and life. I hope that answers that.
Yeah, it does. There's more to go with that, but for now, let's leave that because of the time. Diane, how much time do we have left for questions?
Well, what I'd like you to do is, if you could give your information, and then if we have a minute or two, then we can ask another question. So, Nick,
okay,
will you give your information to us, your email, and your wonderful addresses?
Absolutely. More than happy. And if anyone has a question or a comment, I welcome all of that. My email address is nicknyny1, and that's the numeral 1, at gmail.com. I'm going to repeat it. nicknyny1 at gmail.com.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to give Michael's for ours, our email, Michael Duncan, MICHAELDUNKIN, with the number 1, at hotmail.com. And we also have about 114 videos with 38 of Maitreya messages. And our YouTube is Michael and Diane, D-I-A-N-N-E, Duncan, D-U-N-K-I-N. Gerald, would you please give us some information of yours?
Sure. Diane, what I'd like to ask as a favor of you, and this gets into also for Hercules to contact me, I would prefer that he give you guys a call or email you and Michael, Diane, and the same thing here, because my email is down, but my number, my direct line is 503-385-8480.
Oh, well, I'd be delighted to help. And Nick, do you have another question? I think we have another minute or two. We'll find out from Hercules.
Of course.
You have around 2 more minutes because I have an announcement to share.
Oh, okay.
Diane, may I suggest then we do a part two where we could further explore this, what Gerald has put on the table.
Life will certainly be a topic, and I'm sure we'll talk to Hercules. That sounds wonderful.
I think that's the way you could handle it, because of the time limit, yeah.
Of course,
right.
Well, why don't we, as long as it's okay with Hercules, I will just make a part two the next time that we meet. That will be
that
September. Huh?
That's fine.
Oh, good. All right. Then thank you, Nick, for that great suggestion.
You're welcome. Anytime.
Hercules, would you please give us your announcement?
Sure. I interacted with my local library, the Creskill Public Library, today, and they're interested in my restarting our group there. So before the pandemic, we used to meet once a month, and we would talk about UFOs, we would talk about the paranormal, we would talk about cosmic spirituality, we talk about a wide variety of topics, and these were well-received and very well attended. So that's going to be starting up again, hopefully by September. So just like Nick's Disclosure Network and his Urantia book readings have returned to their original or their most current building, so are mine. So if you have any literature or any giveaways that you'd like me to spread around, I usually have an information table. Nick, you'll remember from Mythic Atlantis. Where we had lots of stuff people sent, promoting what they were doing. So I'm going to be starting that again as well. So if the Worldwide Religion of Love has a pamphlet or a flyer or a DVD or something that I can give out, I will most certainly have it ready there. And that goes for Disclosure Network for the Urantia book and Gerald for what you're doing. So that's on the table again.
Well, thank you. I will definitely
that.
Send something, of course.
Me
that's
too.
Exciting.
That's exciting. Congratulations to have this coming back again. I think that's terrific
news. I'm happy
news.
For you. Yes.
Thank you.
That's wonderful.
And I'm very excited to share that tomorrow Nick's show is recording a little bit earlier. So if anybody wants to listen to Nick's show live, it'll be playing from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So at that point, it can be experienced live by telephone. Otherwise, it'll be available on demand as soon as we finish recording it. 15 minutes later, it'll be available on demand, and it'll remain on demand.
Oh, wonderful.
Thanks to everybody. This was a very inspiring and thought-provoking show, and I'm looking forward to part two. Until then, thanks to all of you, and thanks to everybody who tuned in. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. Good night, all. Thank you.
Good night,
good
all.
Night.
Good night.
Much
happy
love
birthday.
To all.
Happy
birthday, Gerald.
Thank you.
Good
for
night.
The fraction of time we have remaining, I'll play one of Michael's songs. Although we won't be able to play the whole song, we'll play God Bless the World.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind.
Love that song. I love that song.
God bless the world.
And happy birthday, Gerald.
Thank you.
God bless the world. 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 God bless the world.
May God bless us all.
God bless.